Are you ready to become toxic person proof?
Hey guys, Sarah K. Ramsey here to help you find love and success after a toxic relationship so you can design a life you're actually excited about living.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I am here with Jerrica Jek, who is a love and dating coach for women in midlife. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't wait to dive in. We had so much fun last time, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Awesome. Yeah. So if you haven't checked out part one, we're probably going to reference it a bit because that was very specific dating strategies about dating funnel, about your dating brand, about your dating, what to do for your profile picture, you know, how to filter out red flags, all that stuff. So if you've not checked out our first chat, do so. But I'd love to hear a bit more about your story.
Yes. So as I mentioned before, I do consider myself an online dating ninja. And that's what our whole first part was about, online dating. So this one, you'll find out like how I did the steps really that I teach my clients to do. Kind of the short summary of my whole story is, you know, divorced at 48, engaged at 50. So that's a pretty short timeline. Yeah. And I'll kind of go into the whole story. I guess I'll start by saying, so obviously it's got to start with the divorce. So it's got to start with the kind of downside, but I found myself like unexpectedly divorced. I mean, of course you can look back and see things, but I grew up, you know, with parents who divorced when I was like in middle school. And so I went through the whole joint custody thing and the fights and the, you know, we're going to spend Christmas that goes on forever and all of that stuff. And so as an adult, I was determined not to be one of those statistics. That was kind of like my biggest fear to get divorced. And my biggest goal really was to have an intact family. I dreamed of all those things, you know, like having my kid come back from college and, you know, having us together and all of those things and avoiding all of the problems and the chaos that happens with divorce. So when I found myself unexpectedly divorced at 48, I felt kind of hopeless, I would say. And obviously like part of my dream died, right? Because I couldn't have the intact, you know, one marriage situation. But I still had the dream of that forever relationship, that authentic, bonded partner to do life with and to share, you know, to share my everyday, to help with the groceries, to dream and plan of retirement and all of those things.
I call it, it was my own situation of that. I never thought I would get a divorce. I mean, just, oh my gosh, like, in high school, I probably would have been voted least likely to get a divorce. Like if that was like a superlative. And, you know, yeah. I think sometimes when we talk about divorce, there's this real language around like, oh, everybody who gets divorced just didn't really want to work at it, or they didn't really care about relationships, or they got in stupid fights about the socks on the floor. And that is not what I have found. Like as a true grown-up, I understand we don't want to promote divorce for sure. I'm not the divorce promoter, but also just recognizing the sheer grief when people come to this decision. It is not a decision I see people take lightly. And I think sometimes like the mainstream, I grew up very conservatively. So that was like, oh, people just don't take marriage seriously. That's why they're getting a divorce. It's like most people take marriage very seriously and divorce very seriously. And it really is traumatic. It's horrible.
And there still is, you know, in spite of the fact that so many people, you know, have gotten divorced, there still is some stigma there. Mm-hmm. There still is some shame. And yeah, you mentioned the grief. So I'll kind of continue on with my story. So I had this dream before, and I still had the dream of that partner. And that dream was like very deep in me. And so what I really wanted to take a lot of action. I was really motivated to take a lot of action. Again, that's kind of why I feel like the timeline is relatively short, because I kind of let all that grief and all that pain like just rip through me, like just burn through me. I think some people go slower with it. Everybody has their own pace and there's no right or wrong. But for me, that's how it went. So I did everything you can possibly imagine, both to heal and then even like getting back out there meeting men fairly soon. So I talked to everyone who would listen, like friends, family. And sometimes that was like daily calls. I even talked to like strangers. Like I said, how I let it burn through me. Like I didn't care if I felt someone could help me, someone could support me, someone could help me heal. Then I was just like, you know, looking for that compassion or, you know, that hug or whatever it was. So I started healing. I got a coach at that time who both helped me heal from the divorce and get back out there. I listened to podcasts. I read books. I learned about like men and women, and because I really wanted to figure out like what went wrong. And I pretty early on started getting myself out there. Now for me, that was kind of part of the healing process. I know for some people, they really want to wait, but for me, it did help me kind of like feel like a woman again, feel like, yeah, I could be attractive again. Also, a lot of the things that I did were in groups because I wanted to just meet people and have activities and get like going again in my life. And again, kind of back to that short timeline. So I was kind of doing the healing and the getting back out there at the same time. So I do have this one really kind of poignant memory of I went out with singles group, like an over 40 singles group. What is it called? A meetup. Meetup.
Yeah, yeah,
I totally recommend them. So there was a really fun group. And so we went for this hike all day. And I remember going on this hike all day. So I'm talking to, you know, the women and the men, just kind of getting to know everybody. Went on this hike all day. And I came home to cry, do jigsaw puzzles, and watch Grey's Anatomy for the rest of the night. So it was very like intertwined, the healing with the getting back out there. And the getting back out there kind of was part of the healing process.
And I want to point out something. I want to point out what she said and what she did not say. Because as she went through this process, I met my husband very quickly as well. And I did exactly what you did, right? I did meetups. I was out there and meeting groups of people, meeting men and women. What I did not hear her say, which I want to point out in the context of my listeners, what I did not hear her say is I couldn't be alone. I needed somebody to take care of. I needed somebody to fulfill me. And so I was just like looking for anyone who would do, or almost as if we have this like emotional love like tube and we need, like we need someone to like insert it in, like, okay, now I'm okay now. Now I'm okay now. Right. And I do want to point out, as she moved through that process, I want you to hear what she did not say just then, because I did the same thing. I met my husband very soon. I guess it would have been divorced at 32, engaged at 34, or 33, 35. I don't know, but it's a very similar like timeline and story. And we met, but there's nothing sexy about needing them, right? And I want to point that out, because sometimes it's like, oh, you know, I really want this to work out. I really, you know, I never want to be alone. I need to find somebody. And that's a very, even though you and I both moved through a process quickly, it had a very different energy behind it than who's my next husband going to be.
Absolutely. And what I would say that I always focus on with my clients is it's about you, not about him. I mean, it is partly about him, but it really, everything starts with you. And so for me, it was, you know, I did the personal development. I had a coach. I listened to all those podcasts. I cried. I did all those things. And I really had to, I wasn't looking, yes, I was looking to like meet men and talk to men. And I was ultimately looking for that long-term, you know, forever relationship, but it started here, you know, and it still starts here. Everything starts with me and then goes to him. I think too much in dating and relationships, we're always like, you know, what does he want? What does he need? What is he thinking? What has he got going on? And it's really, we need to put the focus more onto ourselves. And so that's really goes back to, you know,
that's how what I say, like, yeah, we need to do like, they don't get to, we're not looking for people to choose us. Like we're looking to see who we're going to choose.
Yes.
And if you make that switch and make that flip, it is all the things, right? It is all the things. I'm also curious to how many women, maybe 35 to 55, that Grey's Anatomy is not some form of their therapy. I'm trying to think like, you know,
I think I watched the entire, like, I started at like, you know, episode one, season one. I think during that time period, I went through the entire, like, what is it? 14, 15, 16 seasons.
I think they're on 17 now, but I did the exact same thing. And I redid it during COVID. Because I had more anxiety than I'd had in my life in years, you know, because there's just so many things out of all of our control, right? And it was interesting. I kind of went back home and my husband now, he said, oh, you really like Grey's Anatomy, don't you? When you're happy, you know, Grey's Anatomy makes you happy. I said, not really. That's kind of what I'm saying. So that was
maybe it's more like a friend.
Does feel like that. You're just like, oh, and it's not super thought-provoking or anything. You know,
And you get into the drama of their lives.
Yes, yes.
It gives you a little bit of space, but also you feel like, okay, I'm not the only like crazy drama, whatever, like got stuff going on and feeling crazy because you see their crazy lives. So,
and Shonda Rhimes does a very good job of the peaks and valleys, right? You see the bad things happening and the good times, and then there are bad. And there will always be more bad times coming, and there will always be more good times coming, right? I think that's it's unconscious. It's probably why it's lasted so long.
Yeah, I just love that show.
Yeah, sorry to get so distracted, but I found that really interesting because it was like, no, that's exactly what I did. Everything we did was like, oh, that's what I did too. That's exactly what I did.
Part of the divorce recovery advice here.
I guess so. Yeah. But you know, I do love what you said about meeting people. Because even if you meet new friends, they may have a brother, they may have a cousin, they may have a coworker, and not coming from as a place of I'm here to meet people rather than I need to be chosen.
And it takes the intensity out of that. I mean, we talked a little bit last time about not rushing, you know, from being single to suddenly in a relationship, but actually going through the dating phase. And dating versus relationship, dating is very light and fun and open and curious and fun. It's not like, let's get serious, let's get deep, let's get committed. You know, it's like you get to that point, but first you got to do the fun part. And the other thing about meeting people is I know this was definitely true for me in divorce, like I needed like to find new friends and other women to talk to. And when you do these singles groups, you definitely have some things to bond over. It's sometimes when we get divorced, our friends may be married and may or may not be supportive, whatever. But when you go to these singles groups, you meet men, but you also meet women who kind of, they really get what you're going through. They just went through it as well. And so.
And there can be some bitterness to that too. Like, I mean, I've kept my friends, you know, but probably at a season of my own pain, I was probably like, that's so great. Your husband's so nice to you. Good for you. Like, I'm sure that, I mean, it was just not my best self, obviously. And recognizing it's like, okay, other people are in this trench with me. I'm not just from the land of broken toys. You know?
All right. Well, let's get into the positive. Story now. Sad. So it's divorced at 48 to engaged at 50. So I'll talk about kind of like how I met my man and how that went, because it very much parallels the first part of our episode, our previous episode. So I did all of the things that we talked about and in online dating. I met him online. So kind of like the first step in the process, obviously, is swiping. So we talked about how to swipe and that you're not looking at it seriously. So when I swiped on him, I was kind of like, you know, all right, couldn't really see his face. He was like, it was kind of like either shadows or like he had a hat on. He was like with other people in the picture, which I don't recommend, but that's kind of what he did. And I was like, sure, I'll go on a coffee date with him. And well, later you can ask me a little bit more about the coffee date. Maybe we'll see what we have time for. But we went on the coffee date. And again, when I'm on the coffee date, this is what I recommend for my clients. This is the same thing I did. You only have one question in your mind when you're on that coffee date, and that is, am I interested in one more date with him?
Ooh, okay, yeah, I like that. I would say that my advice is kind of like, unless there's some obvious red flags, like go two dates, but very few people get the third date. Like that's like way, way in the funnel.
Yes. But just again, keeping it light, keeping it curious. So as you're going in there with that one question, you're thinking in your mind, like, you know, what's this guy all about? And, you know, what's he got to offer? And, you know, what's going on with him? So again, that curious, open, not like, is he the one? Is he the one? Like, calm down, ladies. That's a lot of pressure to be putting on somebody that you just met.
And putting on yourself. A lot of pressure to put on yourself.
On the whole situation. It's just not fun. Yeah. It's just not fun.
What makes it not fun. Yeah. I mean, it makes it, I think you talked about the roller coaster last time.
Yes. Yes, you want to keep the roller coaster low, not like this, you know. Mm-hmm. So keep it low drama. So my next tip is, once you've decided, so let's say that you're on the coffee date and you're like, and this is exactly how I was with him. I was like, I don't know, you know, there was no fireworks. We only met for like less than an hour because the place happened to close kind of quickly. And so it wasn't like, oh my gosh, you know, everything's clicking. Well, it wasn't like that at all. It was like, you know, he's interesting, you know, I don't know, let's see. And so this is what I recommend to my clients, this little technique that I call drop the handkerchief, or maybe you could call it leave the ball in his court.
Yeah.
So one of the things that happens in dating is that we end up wondering, like, does he like me? Why is he not asking me out? Why is he texting me? Should I text him? You end up with this whole drama about what to do. So if you do this technique, you never have to worry about it. So basically, you're on the coffee date, and this is what I did. I'd go to one more date with him. What the heck? So right at the end of the date, as we were saying goodbye, I said, you know, this felt really fun. It would be fun to do this again sometime. So then I kind of like put the ball in his court.
Yeah.
And then you can just kind of like walk away. You never have to text him. You never have to wonder like, oh my gosh, did I not give him the impression that I liked him? Do I need to like help him out with that? So it's so much peace. Mm-hmm. Never are wondering and worrying. You know, you made it. Men don't take hints. So you got to be clear. So if you clearly let him know, like, I would go out with you if you asked me again, then you're not directly asking him out, but you're also making it 100% clear.
And that's just good communication. I mean, I think there's... This game. It's like, no, like we are too old. Like we are grown people. Like be a good communicator. But what if he didn't like me and then I made myself vulnerable? If you do not have the ability to make yourself vulnerable, you do not have the ability to be in a relationship, period. You're not ready to be in a relationship.
I feel like it's one of the benefits to dating when we're a little bit older. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, I kind of don't have time to like,
right.
You know, mess around with, oh, I don't know. It's like, I'm not in high school anymore. I don't want to be wondering, does he like me?
Right.
You know what? Let him know he didn't respond. He doesn't like me. Move on. Remember the funnel?
Yeah.
I've got other men I'm talking to. Mm-hmm. So especially if it's early on like that. I'm talking to other men. I've got another coffee date set up, or I can set up another coffee date. So you just kind of can move on. So in our story, I said that at the end of our date, and he right away responded that he wanted to. So sometimes he might respond, you know, in a text or a message on the dating site or whatever, but he said it right away. So we're like, okay. So then here's another big tip is don't be doing a bunch of texting and messaging with men that you're not in a relationship with. And I would kind of keep that guideline until you're like in a relationship, because that's like a big danger of modern dating is that people will quote fall in love via text. You talk about toxic proofing, and you know, you need the data of his actions, what he really does, not what he says he'll do. So we have this kind of false sense that we have a relationship with somebody.
Yeah.
But it's just based on text. And that's, you know, again, use your logical mind. You know that texts do not make a relationship. Sure, it's fun. It's like dopamine hits. And then we feel like, oh my God, he cares so much, blah, blah, blah. You don't know what he's doing as he's texting you. Mm-hmm. He could be working. He could be talking to somebody else. He could be out in a bar with friends. He could be with another woman and texting you. And I'm not saying this necessarily like men are doing something bad, but also it doesn't develop a real relationship. You need time face to face.
And another important thing, being able to create our own dopamine hits. The only dopamine hit you can have is if someone likes you, the chances of you ending up, it's going to be very detrimental to you finding yourself in a healthy relationship. Cause then once again, I mean, what does my husband have to do? Like jump and dance for me every day to make sure, like, that's not real, you know, and it wouldn't be healthy and a healthy partnership. My husband and I have been together 5 years now, you know, a healthy partnership is not again, that me going and sucking up and needing these dopamine hits. What do you have going on in your life? I'm dating.
Yes.
You know, it's just a real careful balance because you do need to put yourself out there and create that funnel and do the action. But if your only hobby is dating And what's really happening is you're looking for those dopamine hits.
Yeah. So it goes back to what we already just talked about, which is the focus is on you and developing yourself as a person. And that's why it's funny, you know, I'm a dating coach, but sometimes mostly what we talk about is not necessarily dates.
And I found that with every single dating coach I've ever talked to. It's I mean, really and truly,
yeah.
It's personal development. And you, mm-hmm. you talked about how you met your husband, you know, and my favorite thing to say is people always ask me how I met my husband. They don't ask me who I was when I met him, which is a better question, right? It's a, because that's how I landed him, you know, quote, yeah. If you're listening to the podcast, I'm like using quotation marks because I know it's ridiculous, yeah. But you know, yeah, but that's the truth, yeah. Because I could have met him at other stages of my life and we wouldn't have been a good fit.
That's absolutely true. When you're dating, when you're older and you look back and like, what would it have been like if we met when we were 20? And
it's horrible, like, horrible.
It could have gone too well.
Yeah. So I love that technique about, you know, leaving it in there, turning on a green light.
Yes.
You know,
and you can walk away. You can go make a coffee date with another person. You can go do your hobbies, do your thing. You're not wasting a bunch of energy wondering, did I let him know, that you turned on the green light? So.
Yeah. What else? So
the next part of my story,
we
continued on with the dating. Let's see. So then we had what I would call actually our first date. So I usually call the coffee date is just like a meet and greet, just to kind of see like, do you actually want to go on a date with this person? So we went on a first date, and that's kind of when the energy really started happening more. Is really from the first date. So again, the swiping, the messaging, and the coffee date were kind of like, you know, and then it kind of started to grow from there. And the rest of it, I guess I could kind of, how do I get from like date two to like, engaged. But I guess I would say that I took it slow. I mean, I know those 2 years time span doesn't seem like a lot, but between like when we met and when we got engaged was about a year and a half. So that wasn't necessarily super fast. That was, you know, I just I wanted to take it slow, and he probably wanted to go like a little bit faster than I did, but I was just kind of like, you know, let's just kind of wait and see. And I'll tell you the really fun story about when he asked me to marry him, because that's always a really fun story. So we hadn't really talked too much about, you know, where our relationship was going, but about 6 or 8 months before, this was before COVID, he had said, like, he had, you know, proposed living together, you know, like, I want to live together. And I was like, I want that too. And it's not quite the right time. And I also said, you know, I don't know what I think about living together without being married. Now, I didn't say like, I won't, but I was just kind of like, I was still pretty recently divorced. And I was like, I'm not sure what I think about that. And I think my son at that time was 15. I was kind of like, I have a 15-year-old. I don't want to bring in him into like this kind of loosey goosey, you know, on and off scenario. And so it's kind of like, I don't know, kind of take it slow. And then we didn't really talk about it further. It wasn't even a very long conversation. So I didn't tell him a lot of my thinking. I just kind of said, like, I'm not sure how I feel about the, you know, living together without marriage, but I do want to keep going. And then COVID hit, and then like a lot of just life kind of stopped, and, you know, nothing kind of really happened. So a lot of time went by, and, you know, I didn't bring it up. He didn't bring it up. And that's kind of another thing I guess I would recommend to women is to kind of let him push the relationship forward. And if you're doing that, again, it's kind of like when you're turning the green light on, when he's the one who's suggesting moving to the next step, then you always know that it's his idea. It just, again, creates that security and safe feeling in you.
So, and don't date someone for 8 years if you really want to be married. I just want to throw in that caveat, right? Because I know that's not what you were saying, but knowing the context of my listeners, right? So yeah, it's letting them lead, but not having standards for what you want and just hoping they come around. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. That could be a whole nother conversation of, you know, yeah. what you do when he's not moving the relationship forward and you want to. You kind of have to be prepared to walk away.
Absolutely. And really, that's why people are like, oh, how does that strategy work? It's like, if you're just lying about it, then they know it's a
strategy. You can call it a strategy, but it has to be for real. Like,
sure.
Yeah. So fast forward about 6 or 8 months after that, he said, I got a special event planned. This is, you know, during COVID, there's like nothing going on here. And I would consider him to be pretty COVID conservative. He has a medical degree. So he's, so we don't go to restaurants. We don't go out. We go to grocery stores and stuff, but hasn't been a lot of activities in the last 6 or 8 months. So he's like, oh, I got something special planned. So, I mean, you know, it's 2020. The bar is low. Okay. When he has special activity planned, I'm like, oh, you mean like a walk to a different neighborhood or park?
Yes.
I'm excited again. Yes. 2020, so I'm like, oh, cool. We're going to like a different park. That's great. I was like excited. And so then he started driving me over to this other area of Seattle that we don't normally go to. And he took me to this park that like, it's like a famous location in Seattle that people, you can like have a picture of the Space Needle and like there's tourists there and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is nice. I thought, well, we've been here before, so it's not like a brand new place, but you know, cool. We don't normally walk here. So great. So then we went on our walk. Like I thought that was the surprise. Like I said, the bar was pretty low. So I was just like, da-da-da-da. And I should also mention, in my head, this 6 or 8 months had gone by and we hadn't talked about moving our relationship forward. And so what was kind of going on in my mind is like, you know, well, you know, am I okay with living together? Like maybe I won't get married again. Like I'm 50. I'm not planning on having kids with this person or at all. And, you know, I don't know. So I was kind of, I definitely wasn't in a place where I was like, we must get married. I was kind of open. And I thought, well, he doesn't seem to want to do that. So maybe eventually we'll just live together and we won't get married. So we're on this walk and then he takes me into this little more like private park with all these bushes around and stuff. And then all of a sudden he brings out this box and I'm just like, what is going on right now? Like, what is happening? Oh my God. And I was like, even like thinking like, well, that box is pretty big. Is that like a bracelet or something? Like, what is happening? And then he was, you know, said the lovey-dovey words. And then he was like, will you marry me? And I was so unprepared that I like didn't know the answer to the question.
So
that's what I think is, I don't know, so beautiful for me about this story is I think most people talk about it, you know, and like, but he, and it's kind of like just something I love about him. I mean, how ballsy was he that he did this not knowing what my answer was going to be, you know, and so I kind of had to like just pause and like go into my heart basically. And, you know, we had been talking this whole time about, you know, planning our future together and what we were going to do in retirement. And so we had all those things in place. And so I just kind of went into my heart and then I was like, yes.
Well, that's sweet. Well, tell people where they can find more about you. I hate we're out of time, but tell people where they can find more about you.
No problem. I'm everywhere. Love Coach Jerrica. So my website is lovecoachjerrica.com. I am very active on Instagram and YouTube. Also Love Coach Jerrica in both of those places.
Awesome. Thank you so much for helping our listeners become toxic person proof.
Yay.
Hello, wonderful. This is Sarah, and I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. I know that there was something that you can take away to help you get past the past, get real about the present, or get serious about your future. And if I did my job, then hopefully it will help you with all three. If you are not in my Facebook group, Finding Love and Success After a Toxic Relationship, then consider this your personal invitation from me. I'm there live, there's tons of support, and most importantly, tons more information to help you on your journey to become toxic person proof.